Hallo, willkommen bei The Block of Rock, deinem Hardrock und Heavy Metal Podcast Musikmagazin. Ich bin Uwe Lerch und ich nehme dich Backstage mit zu den Rockstars. Natürlich quatschen wir über die Musik, die uns alle verbindet, über neue Platten, über Livepläne und was früher so war. Aber wir sprechen auch über die Menschen dahinter. Was hat sie inspiriert und motiviert und welche Rockstar-Tipps haben sie für dich da draußen? In den Shownotes, das ist die Beschreibung zu dieser Episode, über die du das hier gerade hörst, findest du einen zentralen Link für alle weiteren Informationen, der dich aber auch in meine offizielle Facebook-Gruppe führt. Ich würde mich freuen, wenn wir uns hier kennenlernen. Bist du nun am Start? Na dann komm doch mit!
So, welcome to my playroom, the Studio 301 in Frankfurt.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Beautiful place. Gorgeous
you like
place.
It?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's nice.
What do you like most, the studio atmosphere or the pictures outside?
The atmosphere in here.
We can't afford to buy the pictures outside, they're so expensive. They are beautiful photographs.
Yeah,
Neil Preston photos.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Fantastic. I might buy the book.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
But the studio itself is such a wonderful atmosphere to work in.
Yeah, the lovely
all
people.
The guys who work here are lovely.
Uli and Leo, yeah, they're fantastic guys.
And we've been really well looked after, and we found the experience very creative, and, you know, it's relaxing and creative atmosphere.
Great. Very much so. Very chilled indeed. Mm. Including that room's pretty chilled. It's freezing in there.
That was probably my fault last night because it became very hot. It was very hot last night, so it's down to...
So I was told by Stefan, your manager, says that it's quite unusual for you that you're all going to record in the studio at the same time.
Well, yeah.
In one room.
Mm. Yeah. We live so far apart, and I have a studio in my place, and I'm right up north, in the north of England, on the northeast coast. And Mick and Peter are kind of London, near or just outside London, on Peter's case, in London based. So Mick and I both have studios at home, and it kind of makes it easier for me to...
With modern technology.
Yeah,
we send things backwards
Mick
and forwards.
Mick sends me some stuff and I record some bits at home. In fact, there is even technology now where we can see each other.
And
which
do
is
it live,
really weird.
Okay.
And I can play the guitar in my studio, and the guitar parts go straight into... the software in his studio.
Crazy.
Via a cloud.
German engineering, Steinberg.
It is, Steinberg, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, and when coming back to the pictures, if there's one picture, one photography here, you would like to take home with you, which one would it be?
It would be one of the Freddie ones for me. I mean, not because I'm the biggest Queen fan, just the pictures. There's one of Live Aid with Freddie and Live Aid with a fantastic body pose at Live Aid. And also the very intimate shot just outside here where he's putting his eyeliner and makeup on. I really like that. It's because it's such a... You're never going to see that anywhere else. That's such a close portrait shot of Freddie Mercury.
Peter?
No, I don't know. No idea. Probably. How can you decide to take one? I really don't know.
What about the one you got in your bag?
I think for me would be a young Susie Quattro.
Nice.
Yeah, it takes me back to my early 70s when I was watching Top of the Pops on British TV, and suddenly this leather-clad vixen appeared with exactly the same bass guitar that I've always wanted. Yeah,
it was too much. Was that too much
for a 13-year-old boy? Yes, yeah.
Did it work?
Yeah, sorry. It was all-consuming.
You know, I've been to the studio multiple times, and of course, not only when musicians are here recording or doing a song, writing, and so on. But I always love these pictures because it's got a great atmosphere here within the studio.
Yeah.
Actually, I've been to the Hypnosis exhibition. This was this year in Oberhausen with lots of 10cc covers.
Yeah.
That was quite cool as well.
Yeah.
But coming back to your music, so you're not here only here for watching some photographies, you're here also for work. So how did it came that you got this idea to play here in the studio, also kind of acoustic set, and how did it all develop?
It was your idea, you should know.
Oh, no! Don't tell them.
Well, a friend of ours. We've always sort of looked at doing lots of different things, and I think it was like what we say in England, all the stars aligning, and I think as you know, we've got some very good friends outside of us who like our music and who have contacts, and through a few different friends, they got in touch with our manager, Stefan, who always likes to do certain special things for our hardcore fans. And this idea came up, and I think Uli at the studio here wanted, this is the first one, he wants to do something like this on a regular basis. So he's using us as guinea pigs, experimental guinea pigs. And I think it's worked, yeah. That, what it means is that we've got some fans that have always wanted to see us close up. And it's an intimate thing. They can watch us creating things. They can watch us making lots of mistakes, like you do in the studio, and you just say, stop, okay, I need to do that again to make it right.
In front of the people.
In front of the people. And also, there's a couple of songs that we get. We've got some ambient microphones up, which are facing towards the crowd. And although there's not many of them, you know, we're getting them to sing a few things and clap their hands. So they're part of the whole recording process as well. So it's been nice. And as you missed out on last night, we stayed behind and we've got a few drinks that were flowing. And it was a kind of a real family thing last night. You know, people get to talk to us and ask us little questions. So... yeah,
but it wasn't a meet and greet. It was a party, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a party. It wasn't meet and greet.
It was a
It was a meet.
It was supposed
drink.
To be, but it just turned out. It organically, evolved into a party.
Stephen, how did you choose the songs that you played last night?
We tried to base what we're doing in the studio around things that we've never played live before. So it gives us a chance to nail down some of the songs that we haven't worked on. Mm. We recorded them, but we haven't actually worked on them to perform them live. Mm. So it gave us a chance to polish those, dig them out of the box and polish them and make them.
And people have been asking to hear those for a while. So
that was the main body of the songs that we're doing are things that we've never played live before. And so the fans, especially the diehard fans who've been to many, many, many shows, they're enjoying hearing some songs that they've never heard before.
Yeah.
That means was it original songs of yours? Yeah.
And also
some covers.
Well, one of the projects we're working on at the moment for release next year is a covers album called Now and Then, where we'll take songs from different decades and choose some songs from right down the history of rock and roll, if you like, but some early stuff and some more contemporary songs as well. So we're also including one or two of those in this little show that we're doing here. Yeah.
So this will be the next project. But coming to this, what you've recorded tonight and yesterday night, this will lead to an album.
Yeah.
And you've recorded also some songs here in the studio.
Yeah, Guitars and Harmonies.
The Guitars and Harmonies. That's coming out in, I think, November this year. And it will be mainly what we've recorded here in this format, with just us playing together naturally in a live environment, which is, like I say, usually we've been doing it piecemeal with one person doing it, but it's been nice to record. It's a bit like recording a live gig, but with better equipment, really, or just a different vibe, especially for the people here. So hopefully we'll get a nice result. I mean, we've got quite a lot down, haven't we, really, here to work on.
Yeah.
But I think some of the stuff may go on the covers album, is that right?
Yeah, but I think even though... The basis of the recordings of the cover tracks that we've done will form the basis of the tracks on the Now and Then album, but we will add to them. We can add sort of drums to them and things like that. But this version that people are hearing tonight, that will stay as it is, maybe with a couple of double-track vocals here and there, or a little extra guitar.
We've actually been double-tracking some of the vocals in front of the audience here, you know. So we perform the song, then we put the guitars down and we double-track... we sing on top of the vocals to make them sound thicker, and we do that.
But then they hear that. They hear that, they what hear it sounds it like.
Immediately.
Because they probably wouldn't know what a double track is if you've never been in the studio before. So they're getting the experience of seeing how the studio works, seeing how we record, but then doing something like when you play back a track and you record on top and how different it sounds for them. Oh, it's hopefully a lovely
it's really amazing experience for somebody who hasn't been in a studio before.
So some of the guys are in the live room with us, watching us play.
With headphones on.
Some of the guys, with headphones on. The audience all have headphones.
Oh, okay.
And then there are people in here. We're sitting in the control room with a big mixing desk at the moment. Some of the people are in here. A smaller number of people are back in here. They don't need headphones because there are speakers in here that they can listen on. But Uli is... driving the mixing desk, and he can solo things. He can press a button and say, well, this is what Pete's guitar, and this is Peter's guitar, and this is Mick's guitar. These are the voices, and I can do this. I can take this guitar and make it sound bigger by pressing this magic button here. And so he's showing people behind the curtain in here.
I didn't know he was doing that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, because you're on the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're busy. We're just busy doing other things.
So that's what the people in here get, a slightly different experience to the people in the room with us, you know.
That's great. So I better move around tonight.
Yeah.
To see on both sides.
Yeah.
And next year, that, if I got it right, will be some kind of anniversary, 10 years of Frontline.
26 will be.
This album, which is coming out then.
25 going into 26 will be our 10th. Jubilee.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
No.
No, I can't either.
It's just been a crazy idea. Now it's getting...
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We're getting older.
And older.
I don't want to tell you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
But there's still some room left for new frontman music, also for your own work?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we're all, you know, we all love doing it, and it's difficult a lot of the time because obviously bills have to be paid and life gets in the way sometimes of just sitting there being creative. So you have to go off and earn some money. And so as Pete said, you know, sometimes it's very difficult for us three to be in the same place a lot of the time. But what always happens when we've spent a bit of time together, we come back and we're reminded of what it's like for us three to make music together.
Mm.
So yes, okay, there's... There are plans for, you know, to make this album, of this live album, and do the covers album, which we've been asked to do by various people in radio stations and stuff. And they say, oh, we'd love to hear you sing that Bread song or that so-and-so song or whatever that. So we're kind of saying yes to that. But then once that's done, then yes, we will be doing some more original stuff, hopefully, if people want to listen to it, you know.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
So what about your other projects, what you're doing individually? So what can we expect?
Well, I left 10cc in 2017, and I've got a few other little bits and pieces. My other project that I work with mostly, I do with a friend of mine called Gordy Marshall, who was the drummer of the Moody Blues for 25 years. And we've put together a band which celebrates the music of the Moody Blues. It's not a tribute band because he was in the band, so we don't dress up or anything like that. And it's called A Bit of a Wave in America, in the US, and we've now got involved with doing some stuff with orchestras. So at the end of, I think our next trip away is at the end of October, we're going out, we're doing three nights with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. We did Philadelphia for three nights, and Buffalo, New York, and all of that. So it's a 70-piece orchestra.
Whoa.
We've had all the parts done. Yeah, so we've got a great conductor, and we play kind of 3,000-4,000 seater venues, and it's nice. It's completely different from this, obviously, because it's more organized and there's a lot more people involved, so it's a lot more rigorous. You know, it's you have to stay in your lane a little bit, but so that's enjoyable. So, you know, it's nice to have that two sides of things, great big orchestral things, and then come down and sit on the stage with two mates just playing acoustic guitars. So yeah, but we're hoping to bring it to Europe at some point, so please look
out
for it. Yeah, the band's called Go Now. So if people
Go,
like, which is the name of the first single. So if they call, look up Go Now, Music of the Moody Blues, they'll find something and then come see us. We're touring in Holland or the Netherlands in October. So if anybody's close to the border and wants to creep over and see us,
was that Go Now? Or?
Yeah, Go Now.
Are you doing in October? Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm busy because I joined Smokey a couple of years ago, and they still want to be busy. Sometimes it's a little bit too busy, but they want to be busy, and they're great guys. We've been friends for many, many, many years when I was with the Suite, and even before that, when in my sailor days, I met them a long, long time ago, and we became being good friends. So,
not as a sailor on the seas.
No,
sailor in the band.
Sailor as in the band.
In the band, yeah.
But yeah. So they asked me, their previous singer was retiring, and they asked me if I would be interested in doing it. And obviously, coming out of lockdown, nobody knew what was going to be left of our crazy industry that we're in. So I said yes, and it's been good fun, but it's quite busy. We're going to South Africa in September and Australia in October, and then back into Scandinavia and Germany just before Christmas. So
it's timeless music.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's it. The catalogue of songs stands the test of time.
crazy. Even if most of them have been recorded within a short time frame, within
right.
5 years, 4 years.
And in case anybody wants to know, I still don't know who Alice is. Okay.
If anyone asks.
Who the fuck is?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still in the Hollies. I mean, I don't know how long the Hollies are going to go on for, really, because Bob, the drummer's now 83 this year. So we were supposed to go to Australia in January and have a tour this year, but somehow that's not happened. So I'm suspecting they're just going to be slowing down a little bit now. But I think there'll be probably one or two more tours before. So I will be doing that when it comes up, but I keep myself busy just doing gigs where I can get them, really. And mainly I do a lot of cruise ships. I've gone as a guest entertainer, they call it, and I do 245s in a little theatre. It was about 1,000 people, and just use the band that's there and crack out some Holly songs, some Roy Orbison, and earn me crust and come home and pay the bills. Yeah, so that keeps me busy.
Last question: how is Sir Cliff doing?
Sorry,
How is Sir Cliff doing?
I don't know.
I did contact him on his birthday last year, and we just had a little email. He's fine. I think he's doing another album.
That was when he was 110, right?
Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, he's amazing, really. I think he's doing another tour maybe next year.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's still going. Yeah,
he's never going to stop.
No,
he?
He's never.
Fantastic. Well, it's the thing is, however old that you are, that's your persona. If you just sit at home and don't do what you do, then you not that you become invisible, you know, but you don't do anything. You know, if it's all about entertaining people, if you still think you can and you can do it reasonably well, then carry on doing it, you know. Yeah. And as Pete said, you know, we want to carry on.
Yeah.
As Pete said, you know, we want to sort of like continue doing it until somebody walks onto the stage, puts their arm around you and says, it's time.
That's enough.
It's time.
Come yeah.
Come along, Grandad. Step away from the microphone.
No, it's
you've had your fun.
We have, you know, it's always, this business is about keeping going, no matter what. Sometimes you're doing cool jobs, and the next minute you're like, I mean, I don't regard the cruise ships to be very cool, but what you get is the same thing that we always loved, and what you can't buy is when you step out in front of an audience, you perform to your best of your ability, and at the end you get that applause. And for me, that's addictive in itself. The fact that I can't earn any money doing anything else, singing is something, and playing guitar is just something I love doing.
Yes, who you are, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'll do that. I enjoy it. But the main thing you get out of that, apart from earning a few quid, is that thing you get with the audience. It's always you don't know how it's going to go. You have the anticipation. Oh, is it going to go okay? And when you come off, you think, oh, that was great. And that's the feeling that we get. I mean, we're very fortunate to have this what we have here is wonderful. It's sort of our own thing, you know. So as opposed to me being with the Hollies, I'm in the Hollies band as their singer, you know. I'm just completing their journey. I'm just not helping them out. I've been embraced as a Holly, but I really am just there to sing and help the band perform doing their gigs. And for me, it was a job like working as many jobs as we've all done throughout this business to keep the mortgage paid. You don't always choose, well, I'm not going to do that. When you've got bills to pay, you're going to do whatever job it is. And I've been very fortunate to be going this long, you know, still able to go out and sing. Pete's got like a what we call like a cool job. You with a nice band, you're still doing that kind of thing. Yeah. But it's rare. It's rare.
I feel very blessed and very lucky to be doing what I'm doing at my age.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, like all three of us, we've managed to sidestep real life corporate jobs or whatever from a young age and continue to make a living, although none of us have ever been superstars. I mean, that's not the point. The point is we've enjoyed indulging ourselves in something we're passionate about and we're still doing it.
Yeah.
What's better than
that? The thing is, though, if you would have been, say, I don't know, like 24, 25, you got really, really famous, that can really spoil the journey. It could be great. I mean, I'm not saying we'd be lovely to be a multimillionaire and all that, but all the different things that I've done from being leaving school at 16 within music, if I'd have been a major star or made £1 million when I was 29 or 30, it might have been different. I wouldn't have done all the jobs that I had to do. So that gives you a world of different experiences, you know, and that is probably priceless in itself.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to always be grateful for the journey that you've had. It's not always about I mean, it'd be lovely to have lots and lots of money, but who wouldn't like that?
And
but
also not necessarily on a professional side of things, but on an emotional side of things. You know, when you are a jobbing musician and you get hired and then fired and then hired for another thing and then whatever reason, it teaches you a resilience, you know, for life that you can use to pass on to your children or to cope with a death in the family or something like that. You're just used to these kind of things. Whereas if, say, you're the bass player of a band that's really famous and nothing else happens to you, you've just, as Peter says, you've just got this narrow career of just like things being really good all the time. And then when something bad happens...
They're going, well, how many people do we know that have had... I know quite a few people that have had major success in the 80s and 90s, and then it goes, and they're just bereft. They don't know what to do.
They can't handle it.
They get offered at a gig at a pub, and they go, oh, I can't do that. Or they get offered, oh, I'm not going to do that. And they haven't got that, like the mix says, a resilience, or just a, right, what can we do about it? What we're going to do?
Or the work ethic.
And the wealth of experience to
fit in.
Either sort of like just sing or just play the guitar or just do that. It's good. Yeah. So life lessons.
So, yeah.
The main thing is, we're still here, we're not retiring, and we're just going to keep going.
The next album's going to call Life Lessons.
Life Lessons.
Wenn dir diese Episode gefallen hat, folge mir doch gerne beim Podcast-Dealer deines Vertrauens, damit du auch die nächste Folge nicht verpasst. Du bekommst die ganze Staffel als kostenloses Abo unter anderem bei Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Deezer, Soundcloud, YouTube, dem Podcast-Portal von Google oder natürlich über meine Homepage theblogofrock.com. Höre dir dort auch die bereits veröffentlichten Stories an, denn jede Woche gibt es hier neues Futter. Und vor allem... erzähle es deinen Freunden und teile die frohe Kunde auf Social Media. Alles klar? Dann hören wir uns ja wieder beim nächsten Mal. Bis dahin, keep on rocking!